This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board Executive Search Committee convening on October 19th, 2012. And we're going to take the roll now.
Okay, Ken Aaron here. Ivan Alsley?
Here.
Okay, Teresa Allen? Okay, Nia Badiaco?
Present.
Okay, Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Okay, Afia Wangazo. She asked for an excused absence. There was an email. And Alex Steinberg.
I'm present.
Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 7. That's quorum.
Okay, let me just read the draft agenda for those of you who may not have received it yet. There is one item I forgot to put on the draft agenda, and that's the approval of the agenda itself. I guess we can make anyway. What I have right now is number one, call to order. We just did that. Number two is minutes. But before we do that, we should actually have the agenda approval. So just put that between one and two. Okay, number two, minutes. I gave that 5 minutes. Number three, report from Cher on progress.
This is Teresa. Three little ones and a big spaghetti sauce.
Okay, welcome. I'm just going over the draft agenda, Teresa.
Okay.
The third item is the Chair's report on what I was able to do this week to move things forward. Item number four is an item on the distribution and confidentiality of applications, giving that 5 minutes. Item number five, completion of ED job description, 30 minutes. Item number six, deadline for submission of resumes for ED job description, 5 minutes. Item number seven, clarification of language for ED ad, 5 minutes. Item number eight, budget for paid ads for CFO at ED, 10 minutes. Item number nine, timeline for completion of work for CFO and ED, 15 minutes. Item number 10, process for filtering out applications, 15 minutes. Item number 11, process for interviews, 15 minutes. And 12, adjourn time certain, 10 o'clock. The items I put at the back end of the agenda are items that are not as critical, at least not for this session, so we may either compress them or decide not to get to them tonight. I'd say anything from 9 down we could probably postpone without too much trouble. But the items above it we definitely need to discuss. So, is there any discussion on the agenda?
Yay!
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Any objections? Great. Okay, we have an agenda. The agenda has been approved. Okay. The next item is minutes. I guess the question is, do we have any?
No, but
okay.
I mean, I could send you my notes for both meetings, but I want to listen to the audio and get the vote count for a couple of motions. We didn't have much in the way of motions, but...
Were my notes helpful?
Yeah, but I just haven't listened to the audio for some of the other stuff.
Okay.
But, I'm happy to send the notes, but I don't think we should post it to the Google group until they're minutes. But as soon as I get home, I'll send you my notes.
Okay, so I guess that'll have
to
wait for
minutes next. Yeah,
it'll have to wait for the next
meeting. Yeah, the notes just are so that we don't drop things through the cracks that we've committed to do or whatever.
Right.
So I'll send it out as soon as I get home.
Okay, so I guess then we go to the next item, and that's the report from me on progress. I gave this 10 minutes, but it's actually a pretty short report. So let me tell you what I did this past week to move things forward. First thing I did was I had the Pacifica Tech Department create email addresses for the CFO and ED job application retrieval. We have those now. Next thing I did was I formatted the CFO job description, incorporating all of the approved language and all the various amendments that came out of the considerations of the National Board. And I had it formatted properly, too, because the initial Word doc was kind of a mess. And then the next thing I did was I had the CFO job description posted on the Pacifica website, and it's in the process of being posted on the station websites. I'm not sure how far along that process is. I know it's posted on at least one or two of the station websites. I'm not sure it's posted on all of them yet. It's supposed to be. I'll follow up on that in the next couple of days. Next thing I did was I updated the language for the CFO ad and asked my colleagues on this committee for input. I did not hear back from anybody, so the final ad language that I sent out is the ad language that I used. Next thing I did was I went over the list of potential ad placement sites and checked on where it was paid at. I checked on what the costs were and things like that. And I sent you all a summary of my findings. I also solicited a list from Ali Lexa, who was the chair of the, I think it was the PD search committee at KPFK. And I just wanted to see if there was anything in their list that might be useful. I got the list from them. I haven't had a chance to go over it yet. It looked like there was a lot of overlapping between his list and the personnel committee list. And the next thing I did was I actually placed an ad. I was hoping to place more than one ad, but I only found one place so far that was appropriate, and given the timeline that and the time I had to work on it. If you want, we can go over the list of I sent you all a summary of my of the work I did in going through these ads. Did everybody get that?
Yes, I think I did see that.
Okay.
Alex?
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, so when I get home also, I will also forward you there's a national site for CPAs where they put listings, that I got from the CPA that we use for nonprofits here. You can put an ad there, but the reason I didn't send that is because I haven't had time to check to see. I think there's a small charge.
I found two sites that looked like they were oriented toward people in the accounting and financial field, and they were very professional looking and all that, but they charge a lot. One of them is charging. It's in the summary I sent. One of them was charging $245 for an ad, which is kind of a lot for an online ad. And the other one is charging a whopping $495. So I don't know if you found some sites that are geared toward the professionals in that field and that are considerably less expensive, that would be good.
Ken, to the stack on that.
Yes, go ahead.
I do stuff with advertising real estate rentals, and sometimes you have to pay. You got to go where the traffic is. It could be if a $250 ad gets 1,000 hits an hour and the other free ads get 1,000 hits a month, I think it's worth the money. We have to determine that.
Yeah, I agree with you, but the point is we don't want to just pay if we're not going to get any feedback, even, you know, I didn't have time to research these sites to see how effective they might be or do any comparative study with other sites.
Okay.
If somebody wants to volunteer to do that, that would be wonderful.
I will start to look at you know, how much like this National CPA Society charges for their posts. I think he said there was like a small charge, or there was a charge for that. And then he also sent a number of like headhunters and other kinds of things. But the site was the most interesting to me because it was national, so you can click and you can place where your ad wherever, you know, you are, including the Bay Area. And I would imagine that the charge varies. If you're going to place it all over the country, it would be more obviously than just placing it in the Bay Area. So I will do that on Monday. First, I'll look on the site. I did go to the site, but I didn't have time to see if they have a list.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I think if we're using like sites that are like regionally oriented, then it should be in the Northern California area. Otherwise, just use a national site because there's just too many regions in the country to deal with.
Right. But as Ken said, like when something is very specific like that, you're going to get a really good pool. That's all you're going to get. In other words, it ends up being, you know, like sorting by the profession. You're only going to have CPAs there, and then they probably have subcategories of, you know, those that specialize in nonprofits. So that's already a step toward weeding things out, and it might be worth it. And, you know, some of us might be willing to contribute to the fee if it's a little bit too high.
Okay. The other thing was I on the summary I sent out, I made some comments, and I tried to find out what, you know, where it cost anything. I tried to find out what it cost and so on, and why I didn't think some sites were appropriate. I'm just skipping all the journalism sites because this is obviously not a job for a journalist, so that's kind of a no-brainer. The organizations like the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, that would be appropriate, but we need some volunteers to hit those sites. I'm not on their list, or I don't know how to get on their list. Also, the California Chicano News Media Alliance sounds like an appropriate place, but again, we need a volunteer to see if they can locate those, if they have websites and play, you know, see what the details are for sending an ad there.
Ken, 2 points.
Yes, Ken.
And number one, just as you said, wouldn't it be better to go to the Chino Association of Accountants, or CPAs, or the, you know, the...
Yeah, if such a one exists, that would be very appropriate. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I
rather than broadcasters. And one other point. So if we can get diverse organizations in the accounting profession, that would really be good too. But there's one other thing that you just mentioned that I wanted to know whether or not we want in a job description. Does it require relocation to Berkeley?
You know, that's a good point. We probably... I don't recall that that's actually explicitly stated in the job description, but of course it does.
Did we have something about salary in there?
And we don't have anything about salary. That's okay, but not every job description has salary. The salary issue will, of course, come up in the course of interviews.
Right, but the wording saying, you know, depending on experience or whatever.
Salary, we don't have that salary. We don't have that. I was looking at some samples of job descriptions for CFOs from other nonprofits, and some of them have language like that, some of them don't. So, you know, I think we're okay not having it. It's not a big deal. The thing about relocation, maybe we should add that to the job description.
But my point is it really required?
I think it is, yes.
I'm not familiar with the national office operations. I can't.
Well,
I don't
because a CFO for Pacifica, you're supervising people directly in the national office. You're not just dealing with strategic financial issues, which is apparently what a CFO is supposed to do. Our CFO also is a controller, because we don't have a separate controller position. So you have to do detailed things like preparation of budgets and watch out for cash flow, and involve direct supervision of staff. So I don't see how you could not do it and relocate to Berkeley. Yeah.
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Yeah, so rather than relocate, because that's up to the individual, like if you're in L.A., you could easily work up there, rent a room, and
follow. Oh, yeah, sure. No, we don't have to say.
So we should just say that the office is located in Berkeley.
Yeah, sure. We're not going to say you have to relocate to Berkeley. We're just saying the job is in Berkeley, period.
Yeah.
If you have some way of arranging it and you're not actually living in Berkeley, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't think we don't have to change the ad, since the ad references the job description that's on the Pacifica website, so I think we could just put in a few words, you know, that the job is located in Berkeley and add that to the job description, if that's okay with everybody.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When are we going to talk about how we're going to pay for this? Are we just going to put it all on a credit card?
I've had some preliminary discussions with the interim executive director. She's going to be working it out. I don't know the details yet.
How are we going to pay for what? For the ads?
For the ads, basically. That's the only thing, the whole kit and caboodle,
the whole search. I know that you, Lydia, said that, you know, you thought we should get the CFO as quickly as possible, and I'm concerned.
Teresa,
I think that's maybe not this place on the agenda, but
yeah, we have a budget item
to talk about that.
It is an item on the agenda, although I'm not really sure what we can do about it right now. It's something I have to work out. But we're definitely going to need a budget for the ads. And until we get a budget, I can't place any paid-for ads.
Oh, see, that's a problem. Where is the budget on the agenda? How far down? I'm just watching myself.
It's not far down. It's right after we finish the ED job description.
Okay.
And this, we're almost out of time. I think we probably are out of time on this item. Is there any other questions? So can we get it to you?
Ken, on that, rather than say the job is in Berkeley, I'd rather say, yeah, just a more professional statement. Most work will be located in the area of Berkeley, California. It's just something a little bit cleaner. It's not a job. It's an executive position. So, I mean,
about the finance office is in Berkeley.
Say that again. I didn't catch the last statement.
Hold on. About the Pacifica finance office is located in Berkeley.
That's fine. Yeah, something like that. Sounds very neutral, but at least they get the idea. Okay, before we leave this item, can we get some action items out of it? Do we have any volunteers to pursue placing some of these ads? And so I realize I thought maybe I could do this myself, but it's too much. I can't. Well, don't
Ivan, this is
I'll make a recommendation on that. I make a recommendation. That
well,
would
let, well, let Ivan speak. If
he's sure.
Ivan?
Yeah, I will help you, and I will call you tomorrow about the information that I need.
Okay, that's great. Ken, did you have something to say?
No, I'll pass. I will do some research on the websites, which ones are the most effective. I will look for CPA and accounting firms of minority
that'll
communities.
I do think, though, that we might still want to advertise in media, especially like nonprofit media groups, because even though it's not a media job per se, it might catch somebody who has been working or wants to work in that kind of milieu. But anyway, that's just my opinion.
Okay, I'll do some research on the websites.
Okay, I appreciate that. Let's move on to the next item then. What did I have on the... we have an item on the distribution and confidentiality of applications. What this refers to is we have email addresses for people to mail in their applications. The question is how are those applications going to be viewed and retrieved? Right now, as a temporary thing, that anyone sending anything to that email address gets forwarded to my private email address. That's, of course, not going to be the way it's going to work.
Alex, what is the email address?
CFO-job@org.
Yeah, okay.
The email address exists, and I tested it, and it gets forwarded to one of my Gmail accounts. That's fine. The question is, how do we want to make this accessible to the entire group and at the same time try to keep it as confidential as possible? One thing we could do that's very simple is to have, instead of having it forwarded to my my private address, it could go to the Google group. That would take
good.
Care of it, but then, it would be as secure as the Google group is secure. Ken, how secure is that Google group?
There's nothing secure anywhere within 10 feet of a computer.
Okay.
I have another recommendation for that. It's a burden, but I would feel best if one person received the resumes and then stripped out IDs and assigned a number and then put them on the Google group. So if it's a resume from Jack Johnson and it gets, you maintain a spreadsheet and Jack Johnson is 187 and you put that on the resume and then you forward it.
That's an idea, but the question is who would do that? It probably should not be a member of the committee.
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. It should not be a member of the committee, but also we're all directors, so we're entitled to all of the information. It works differently than when you're at an LSB and have listeners in the group and, whatever, if you have that kind of search committee. But, directors have access to all information but are responsible for that confidentiality. Regardless, I think it's better. It's very burdensome with everything we have to do, I think, for any one person. I'm certainly not going to volunteer to do it, to have one person send it out to everybody. So I would say if we could get it just sent to the Google group, because then we just log on and none of us have to have it in our personal email boxes, which I think, is a problem. It's much safer, I think, to just go there and look at it if you want.
Well,
and if other PMB members want to peruse them, I would think people on the finance committee and so directors will want to look at them or whatever, that they can just, we can refer them to the group or we can find out a mechanism thereafter.
We could, I don't think it would be appropriate for people who are not on the committee to view the resumes until the committee's work is done, right, at which point any member of the PNP should be able to look at them. But while we're still working, I don't really think that would be appropriate.
Well, whatever the PNP decides, but I'm just saying, in terms of the mechanics of it, I think it's better if we don't each have people's resumes in our inboxes.
Well, I agree. But
Ken. I'll solve it. Okay, so don't email them to anybody at this time. I will determine the security of, it's the Google Docs, it's not the Google Group. I agree with Lydia. You don't want to be emailing them out because people, you know, you can hit the wrong button and, my God, I just sent that to all my relatives.
Let me ask you this. Aren't the Google Groups set up that any email that goes there gets forwarded to all the members of the group?
Yes.
But he's talking about something else.
You don't want to send out emails. You want to have it uploaded in a doc file that everybody has access to. You don't want to send them out as emails, because as emails, they're more susceptible to being incorrectly forwarded or copied or something by accident. So if they're in a group, going to a library to look at something.
Yeah, but how do we get them to the group? Is that something?
Well, I'll negotiate that.
That could be done by Otis forwarding the thing from the Pacifica server?
Right, that's what I'll do. I'll just work it out with Otis. And Otis may say, he may make a separate repository, which is a higher security, and give access to all the members. It might be more appropriate, because as soon as you get into a function like Google or Yahoo or anything, you're much more open to hacking and so forth. So I'll talk to Otis about it tomorrow.
Okay.
In the meantime, you haven't received any resumes yet, so...
No, of course not. When he sets that up, he can disconnect my email from that one. That's fine.
Yeah, but this is Lydia. I mean, I know the KPFTX, that whole committee list and everything, had a lot of kinks in it. And also, you have a lot of people in Pacifica who might be more invested into... delving into information, as opposed to not knowing that we have access to it on Google. But
okay, well, I'll talk to Otis and I'll research the security of what I have now or other options, and I'll come back before we start getting the resumes. We'll develop a secure repository, but we don't want to spread them. We don't want to email them back and forth. We want to have them in a. If we have them in a secure repository, we might even have the ability to log who viewed the files.
Yeah, I would prefer, I mean, if we're taking preferences here, the Google Doc option on your site. Not the Google Group, but the Google Doc.
I have Google Docs, right.
Okay, well, that sounds good if we can get that going.
Yeah, it is. I have docs posted there, and I've given access to the emails that are in the group. And I sent that out a notice about it, and I'll test it with somebody.
Okay. Sounds good. So I think we're agreed on that, so let's move on to the next item. And that's the completion of the ED job description. I think there were, Chad, you still had a couple of amendments you wanted to...
I'm pulling that up right now.
I hope somebody has the. I don't have the doc on what we've already done. We did a couple of things. I know what the national board did, but I don't remember exactly what this committee did last week to the language of the job description. So I hope.
That's a good point. I can read the notes I have and maybe refresh everybody's memory on the things we were working at. I think one of the things, I remember we got down to this 19, monitoring and or authorizing, and I had wanted to include all major expenditures as appropriate, but that didn't pass. But what did pass was we eliminated unbudgeted expense approval on 19. So 19 ends up, I say, monitoring and/or authorizing expenditures as appropriate in accordance with budgets approved by the PNB, including but not limited to check authorization, reimbursements, and consultant hires. Then the next thing I had, I think that's where we left off. The next thing was there was a line about acknowledging major donor contributions and other support in a timely manner. This is my other two things. I wanted to remove that because I guess the point here was that we had an experience where somebody was hiding some checks. However,
we don't have to go into the details here.
Yeah. Right, without the details, there's a thousand different things that the ED has to monitor, and it's just general policy. I don't think there's a point in stipulating all the functions and policies of the job in the job description. You know, part of the job description is to follow and implement the policies. So, and this sounds like
we don't have to get into so many details.
Okay, so I want to strike number 20, which is acknowledging major donation contributions and other support in a timely manner.
Can you move that as a formal motion?
So yeah, that's my motion, is to strike number 20.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that? No? Okay. Are there any objections to Ken's amendment?
This is Nia. I object to PNB, and I objected now, but I'm not going to belabor the conversations. But while I have the floor, Alex, I try going into this Gmail thing, and Ken, you gave me the email of some Annie G-Dim something, but could you go in and fix mine and send me one with my name on it? Please, I don't know who Annie G is. When I try to sign in, it's the email address. It's some Annie G Dim at Gmail. I don't know.
I'll take a look at it as soon as we get, you know, as soon as I get a chance.
Okay, you could, Nia, can you deal with that with Ken offline through email?
He said when he gets a chance, and I didn't object.
Okay. So just getting back to the, I'm not clear. Do we have any objections to Ken's amendment?
If Nia objected, I said.
You did object, okay. Do you wish to discuss it?
No, I think that if you have that there, someone will think twice. If someone wants to spend something that's not in the budget, it's just a reminder. But,
We're talking about it. This is Ken. We're talking about number 20. I want to remove acknowledging main and donor contributions and other support in a timely manner.
Okay. So what happened to the one before about the unbudgeted items?
That was resolved last meeting.
I think we should acknowledge people. In order to have them give more money. People like recognition, so that was the intent behind that, to have it there. But
okay.
I'm not going to have a dialogue between Ken and me. Just bring it to a vote.
I think there's a basic misunderstanding here. Because some items are not included in a job description doesn't mean that we don't expect the CFO to do those actions. It's just that... We don't want to overload the job description with all these details. I mean, you know, the CFO is probably responsible for 1,000 different things. I think we just want to lay out what the general guidelines are for the job. We don't want to...
Point of information, we're talking about the ED job description.
The ED, I mean, I meant the ED, yeah.
Okay.
So that's sort of my take on that. It's not that we don't want the ED to do these things, but do specifying them belong in a job description? Anyway, since you objected, we're discussing it. If there's no more discussion, we can just go to a vote. Okay. So let's go to a vote. Can we have a roll call? On the vote.
Okay, you want me to do the vote?
Wait, yeah, okay. Basically, we're voting on your amendment to delete that section, and maybe you should read it again so people
right.
Know.
Right. And says, a yes vote will eliminate item 20 from the job, the ED job description, which says acknowledging major donor contributions and other support in a timely manner. Yes, we'll eliminate that. Ken Aaron votes yes. Ivan? Teresa Allen?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Ivan, was that a yes?
No, I say no.
Okay. Teresa Allen? Okay. Nia Vediaco?
No to striking.
Okay. Lydia Brazon? Okay, Alex.
You're the
chair, so we'll see. Okay, so let's go back. Teresa Allen and Lydia Brazon.
This is Teresa. I said no.
Okay.
Sorry, I was on mute.
All right, Lydia Brazon. And I'm sure Lydia's just getting out of here.
Yeah. It was no, and I'm home now, so I can take roll.
Okay, very good. And so it's 3 no, 1 yes, the motion fails.
Okay. Is there any further amendments?
Yeah, I have a few more, just this one. Bringing contracts to the coordinating committee and PNB for review and or approval based on current policies. Again, I was just concerned about overweighting the job description, not the principle, just the putting everything like that into the, it's like, to me, it seems like the job description is getting used to approve policy without getting PNB approval. So if bringing contracts to coordinating committee and the PNB for review and or approval based on current policies. If that's an approved policy, fine. But if it isn't, it shouldn't be used to get around getting approved by the full PNB.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, I mean, I've sent this policy out a number of times, and it has been approved. If someone wants to rescind it, they can. But the fact of the matter is that the reason that came into being was because that was the where we found the most horrendous expenditures that were unauthorized and that caused problems down the line. But the reason to put it in a job description is because this is larger. When you have someone applying for ED, many of the nonprofits are small. With rare exception, they're small. And when you have a small nonprofit, you usually pick your own board if you're an ED or you know, board members that are favorable to what you're going to do. You don't get much in the way of objections unless you're a horrendous ED. That is not the nature of Pacifica. And there is far more oversight by the board, which in, you know, is good because a lot of those nonprofits go down the tubes because they don't have the oversight. And so I think it's important for them to understand that this is a very different environment. You get a taste of that. I mean, you can hand them the they can go read the bylaws and whatever, but there's no way they can read the policies because the policies that used to be on our website are no longer there. And so they won't know that, oh, I'm not going to be able to. Some EDs are just not going to want to do that because they come from an executive mentality. They come from a different type of nonprofit. And I think it's really important to have that in there. And that is where the most horrendous problems have come about throughout the years.
This is Nia, Alex. Okay. Here too again, I think I agree with everything Lydia said, maybe because both of us and Teresa are on the personnel committee. In addition, this job description that you edited, Alex, did a detailed job description. So I would strongly suggest that if you either take out the word detailed job description And then you just strike that or you leave it in there. And just to reiterate, everything that Lydia said, you need to have it crystal clear so that we don't hear, which we've heard before, that's not in my job description. That's not in the job description. I have heard that. So I am for keeping it in there based on past experiences with this foundation.
Hello, this is Ivan.
Ivan, go ahead.
Somebody please inform me, was this job description approved by the, what committee is that again? The
personnel?
The personnel committee?
Yes.
The entirety of it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Ivan, to answer your question, and it's been on the agenda, and that's why Teresa was the secretary, and she always does a really good job about putting the vote count on there, and it was approved without objection.
Okay.
I'm trying to...
Let me just clarify that, Ivan. We began this process with the draft that was submitted from the personnel committee. Some changes were already made by the PNB when we discussed this job description on the PNB. We did not finish discussing it on the PNB, so it was referred. It was referred to this committee to complete, and we began that process last week. Hopefully, we're going to finish it tonight. So that's where we're at.
Because the question was it approved by the personnel committee, which is what I answered.
Okay, can I finish, please? Yep, my question is this. The personnel committee spent a lot of time drafting this, and it was, I guess, the draft was approved. And I believe the committee felt that that the elements are pretty much, the content is needed. So I feel that we should just go ahead and just approve the job description so that we can move forward. Because if a committee has already done the work, why are we reinventing the wheel?
Let me answer you, Ivan. The answer is we're not reinventing the wheel. We are keeping large parts of what the personnel committee did, but we're reviewing it, and we found in reviewing it that some things in what the personnel committee did are not appropriate in our opinion, and we're simply refining it. I think in this particular instance, I think the problems that we face at Pacifica are really kind of the opposite of what was discussed before, that we have we haven't really had at least for a while runaway executive directors who just push through things no matter what the board says. Rather, I think we've had the opposite problem. We've had executives who've been afraid to actually make decisions and move forward. And I think incorporating all these kind of details in the job description, and if you do this, you have to do this, and you have to be answerable to this. That kind of language just reinforces a certain culture in which it's telling someone we're not looking for a can-do executive who's going to make some decisions. We're looking for someone who's going to be always looking over their shoulder at what the national board or what some faction of the national board wants to do. And I think that's not the kind of executive we want for this foundation. So I would be in favor of Ken's amendment and strike out that language.
There's nobody else.
Wait, hold on for a second. Hold on for a second, please. Let me say something.
Ivan, we have a procedure. Let Lydia speak.
Just as a point of information, that language was not language that we incorporated. I mean, what we did was we took the job description that was vetted carefully by the previous board, and it was the full previous board before Arlene was hired, that vetted this job description before it was posted. And so it was like a save as. We just changed a few little things, but that particular section was there before that. It was also there before the previous search of the previous executive director, and it was there before the previous search before that previous director, but each time it was discussed and vetted by the full PMB, which we are not. I really believe that we should leave it in there, because I don't think the small committee should reverse, but it's been vetted by full board time after time after time.
Okay, Ivan.
This is what I want to say. The committee that actually drafted this, it wasn't, you know, like a committee of like one faction, and if it was approved without objection, and to me, the more information, the better, and I can tell you, here in Washington D.C., every time you ask someone to do something, the person will say, "Well, it's not in my job description." So I said, "You know what? Let's not waste the time. I think what's important right now is for us to kind of like discuss the budget of how we're going to finance, this in terms of the, advertising the position, and let's just keep what we have and let's move forward, because this has already been approved by a committee." And Lydia just said that the language was from previous boards. So I said, let's just move forward.
Okay. Just in response, I'll just give you a quick response. I certainly hope we do not hire an executive director who will ever say, it's not in my job description. if such a person is ever hired, then this we've had it. Anyway, is there any further discussion?
Okay. I move that we approve the job description as is.
Well, there's already we're voting on Ken's amendment right now.
Okay.
So let's take obviously there's disagreement, so let's go to a vote.
Okay. Ken Aaron?
Yes.
We're voting to remove?
To remove the language about the contract.
You want to read it again, Ken?
Okay, to remove line 21, quote, bringing contracts to the coordinating committee and PNB for review and or approval based on current policies.
Okay.
Okay, Teresa? Yes is to remove. No is to leave it as is.
No.
Okay. Nia?
No.
Okay. Ivan?
No.
And Lydia is a no. Alex?
I'm not voting.
Okay. Okay. And so the vote to remove that failed.
What you should give the count.
The amendment to remove that failed.
You just report the vote count. It's one yes, three no, whatever it was.
Okay, it was. One, two, three, four noes, one yes, and one not voting.
Okay, good. There was one other thing here before we go to Ivan's thing. I'm not sure. I think we handled this in the last meeting. There had been an amendment added. Retainers with all attorneys may only be entered into with board approval in the form of a motion passed by the collective board authorizing said contract. And I believe we struck that in the last meeting or in the PNB. But I don't have the most famous memory of the world here, so I think we addressed that.
This is Nia.
I believe that's correct. But Nia?
I don't think so. I don't know, Teresa, Ivan, and Lydia?
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes. That one is not in my notes. What number is that?
It was 28.
Right.
It was like... it appeared to be between 28 and 29.
Right.
Was that struck down in the committee or on the national board?
No, Alice, the thing with the PNB like this, it wouldn't be in the committee and be on here. But I think we were at an impasse, and I don't think that this was struck.
Okay. What my notes just say is remove section 20 by Lydia.
Oh, there you go.
But I don't have the vote count on there. I mean, I can listen to the audio tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. And so other than that, I only had one last thing was to add, because I didn't see it in there and I may have overstepped it, coordinate broadcasting fund drives and other activities which occur between two or more stations.
Alex, before we leave that Lydia has to fact check.
That one I had said that we would just explain in the opening paragraph that we were a network of five stations. Remember, we had that whole discussion. So that was resolved that way.
Okay. And then
with good language, I think, for that.
Okay. And then the one other thing, I'm not really pushing this, but it's a personal thing. I wanted to add, assuring that all real or apparent conflicts of interest are reported, investigated, and addressed as required in the bylaws. Again, I'm pushing something that's in the bylaws, but somebody's got to wear the hat, be the sheriff, and nobody's doing it now for like 10 years already. So,
I don't know what that even means for the staff.
The amendment would be, that the ED has, one of its functions is assuring that all real or apparent conflicts of interest are reported, investigated, and addressed as required in the bylaws.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not sure who was first. I think I heard Teresa somewhere.
I'll wait.
Okay. So, Lydia?
Yeah, I mean, that's not limited or charged to the ED in the bylaws. It simply says that in the foundation, this is the description of what constitutes a conflict of interest. And so, to me, it's the board of directors that is responsible to make sure that there aren't any conflicts of interest, and or in terms of staff, it could be assigned to the ED only as it pertains to staff, not the whole foundation, because the board, some of the emerging conflicts of interest have been within the board, and so it prescribes a process, what you have to do, and everything that's described in there under that process, under that conflict of interest process, is all board related. So anyway, so I don't think it's appropriate in the job description.
This is Nia Allen.
Nia?
Yes. I move that the language, retainers with all attorneys may only be entered into with board approval in the form of a motion passed by the collective board authorizing said contract, be verified by the secretary, Lydia Brazon, before this job description gets posted. If the PNB did in fact strike it, then it is to be struck from the final version of the
point of order.
I think that's out of order if the PNB already.
Yeah. No, I think Ken's motion is on the floor right now.
No,
that's correct as well.
So, and Ken gave several
the one I think that he has on the floor is this one that has to do with contracts. Can't we deal with that before we go on to the next one?
Okay. Well, actually, this one was first, and I was trying to get in there, but Alex went on because I would like to talk about that.
I'm just confused.
Let's finish dealing with Ken's, and then then you can have the floor. All right?
Okay.
Is there any further discussion on Ken's amendment?
Well, I'll bring it up. I just want to, I'm in a mystery about something, so I'll ask Lydia. If most of the conflicts of interest that the ED would be responsible for handling would interface with staff, And it's correct, the ED would not be able to correct PNB members, but likewise, PNB members are not going to be able to correct staff. It's the duty of the executive director to make sure he's got a clean ship. And when programs are hustling funds on the outside using the content created on the station or other things or people are skimming money, that's the job of the ED to police those things. And, you know, to leave it up in the air, well, people just point fingers and say, it's not my job, is very problematic. And so it could be limited. It could say, you know, as regards staff, but, you know, I don't see having restraint here as being the issue of hobbling the ED and saying, no, he cannot, he's not allowed to deal with embezzlement or other factors or other conflicts of interest. We need an ED that will be an ED, not it's not my job, just as people were saying before. So that's why I want to put it in, just because of what you were saying. It's a confusion as to who's going to deal with this. Is it the PNB? Is it the management? So I'm saying it should be put in there that the executive director is responsible for getting people to report conflicts of interest, investigating them, and dealing with them as covered in the bylaws. So that's, but you know, let's put it to a vote.
Teresa, to the stack.
Okay, and then Lydia, because I do want to clarify this.
Teresa, I mean, if there were some sort of conf on air, I would think that the
Sorry, I just I dropped off the call. I just got back.
Okay. Did you miss the whole thing that Ken said?
I probably did. I dropped my phone. Sorry about that.
But, well, then that's your Christmas present. That's all I'm getting you.
So where are we?
Well,
are we
Ken was saying, Ken, since you won't repeat it, Ken was kind of saying, what? I don't know. Yeah. Hell, I was just prepared for what I was going to say. I'm not listening to Ken this evening. Ken said he wanted to empower the executive director rather than possibly have somebody say, well, I didn't know it was my responsibility, I think. And my thought is, if you have a conflict of interest, if matter of a programmer hawking things on air, I would think that would be caught immediately by the program director or the general manager and say, stop that, you can't be on our station anymore. I think it's only natural where that happens among staff at whatever level is higher, that's going to be stopped. And if our executive director has a conflict of interest, we're going to be responsible for stopping.
Let me ask this question. Is the intent here to spell out the police actions that the executive director is going to have to do? I can respond to that, but
maybe there's other people on the queue.
I'm just throwing that question out to in general.
Can you add me to the stack?
Sure. I don't think there was nobody else on the stack, as far as I know. So
yeah, Lydia was on the stack.
Oh, Lydia. Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
But Lydia already spoke. You really should go to Ivan.
Yeah, go to Ivan.
Okay, go ahead, Ivan.
Let me say this. I don't know how to approach this, but I agree with Ken, because here in D.C., we have people who are making money using WPFW. Literally, they are doing like fundraising and putting WPFW's the name on the flyer, but the money is going to them. And our GM is not doing anything about it, and he knows that. And I call these people out on our LSB meetings. No one is doing anything about that. So I don't know how to approach it, but something needs to be done.